way, we have got a session with the high-level panel for the review of policies, legislation, and practices under of elephant, lion, leopard, and rhinoceros management, breeding, hunting, trade, and handling. So that is what we are about. We are getting a briefing from the high-level panel. But I indicated immediately that we would be meeting them for the first time. So it would be good at least to have a sense of who we are before I can welcome everybody. So I would ask members to briefly introduce themselves. You don't have to give us your biography. Briefly introduce ourselves so that the panel should know who is on this portfolio committee. Before I can welcome everybody, I am Fikile Xhasa, who is the chairperson of the portfolio committee for environment, forestry, and fisheries. I would ask members to follow suit, introduce themselves. Can we start with you, Honorable Modise?
Chairperson, we're having trouble with Honorable Modise. So I'll go. My name is Nazir Paulson, and I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee for Environment, Forestry, and Fisheries.
Good morning, all. My name is Naren Singh, a member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Morning. My name is Simpu Mbanta. I'm the member of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mary Weber, and I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Morning. Colleagues, my name is Mpoto Ngwane, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, my name is James Lorimer. I'm a member of the committee.
Yes, I'm back. Good morning, my name is Ntibi Modise. I am a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Does it mean we initially I saw Honorable Mchulu, I don't see her now, but as they come in, they will introduce them. I know this is not an agenda, this introduction, but I felt we should do it. I know you have got many members. You'd see how best you can do it so that at least we know the...
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning. My name is Pam Yako, and I'm the chairperson of the high-level panel. This morning we have a delegation from the panel of six members, and out of a total of 25, we thought, given what we were presenting, that we needed a smaller delegation. We have a list chair for the rest of our members, which we could make available. But the members of the panel are drawn from quite a wide spectrum of organizations or skills, rather, because we are all individuals on the panel. So some come from the academic sector, some come from the portions as part of the panel. We've got people that are part of community, and we've got people that have been involved in policy before. And so we've got a wide range of skills and experience on the panel itself. But coming to today's delegation, I will allow the members so that you also see how we look like to just switch on their cameras and just briefly say their names and so that you can see how we look like. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, all. I'm Teresa Franz, a member of the High Level Panel.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Chair. Good morning to all the members. I'm now. I'm also a member of the panel.
Good morning, everybody. My name is
Tim now.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Chief Ribwani Matsila. I'm the member of the panel.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Chipuan Nangambi. I'm a member of the high-level panel. Thank you.
Chairperson, we seem to be missing one more member. I'll ask the members of the secretariat to just locate him. His name is Kule Chitepo, a member of the panel. We just need to locate where he is at the moment. We are also accompanied by the secretariat, which is headed by Paul Daphne. I'm not, in the interest of time, Chairperson and honorable members, I would not go through the members of the secretariat, but we will make sure that for the record, all members, the members of our team or delegation, we make that available to the panel, including the full list of the members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We can see the name written there of the other member, but I think let's now start the meeting. Welcome, members of the Portfolio Committee. Also welcome to the members of the high-level panel. As you would be aware, we have got interest in the Portfolio Committee on the work that you do because, according to us, you are the outcome of a colloquia that was held in 2018. Which resulted into some House resolution that expected the establishment of this kind of panel. So we might be claiming it, but I know it's the minister who established you. But because of that interest, and also because we want to clarify certain things amongst ourselves, because some of us are new, we just felt you'd close it before the committee gave us a picture of what we are doing so that we can relate to some of the public representatives, especially those who are members of the public who always want to see certain things happen, but such things must happen within a particular order. So this is an attempt to close that gap as well as to say from now on, this is how we want to work together. So welcome, and I hope all the members would appreciate that. Because of the first time, we only had one item, honorable members, unless there's somebody who has got any other issue, or can we get a proposal to adopt the agenda? I see you, honorable.
I second.
Honorable Ntonu, I can see you now. Thank you very much. I am not hearing any contrary view. Can we now, Honorable, I normally use this term, Honorable, because I talk to members. But now the chairperson of the high-level panel is not a member, but is the chairperson. Can I hand over to you, chairperson, Pam Yago? I didn't hear you mentioning your name when you were introduced. Brief the members. The members are coming from different political parties, but we are a collective here that has got interest in the new department and what we are going about. And welcome. Over to you.
Thank you once again, Chairperson and Honorable. I did say that my name is Pam Yako. I'm the chairperson, so we just missed that. I often don't like to start with an apology, but as indicated to the chairperson, I'd written to the chairperson that I would be, I'm part of a panel from 10:30 at Wits University, so that a seminar that I have to be part of. But I'm hoping that most of the work of the today's meeting by the time we get there, and that if I could be excused at that time. So Chairperson, I would like to say on behalf of the panel, thank you for the opportunity to come and just literally to introduce ourselves as the panel and what we're doing and what our plans are and what we've been doing thus far. And we are basically why we thought this briefing was necessary, and the chair has correctly pointed out that there is work that was done by Parliament, and as a panel we've looked at that work, and it's part of the, as I would articulate in the discussion, as part of the things that we've taken on board in terms of our work. But what we really want to do now is to tell you about, to brief you about who we are, what we're doing, what our plans are. And at this stage, Chair, we're not going to go in the substance of some of the things that we've done, but you will get a sense of that when I'm done with the presentation. So an overview is the background to this panel, base of the panel, the scope of work in terms. We had been appointed, when we were appointed, there was a terms of reference. The current work that we're undertaking and other planned activities, and analyze or end the presentation with a sort of when do we complete our work. Okay. So the first point to make that despite the country's reputation as a global leader in conservation, especially in the species that we're dealing with, as this panel, which has regarded as iconic, elephant, lion, leopard, and rhino, there is still a significant level of public concern around policies, legislation, and practices associated with these species, and especially with regard to issues around animal welfare and well-being. So in 2019, the Minister of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries established the advisory committee, which is the panel, to look into these concerns and she gazetted the appointment of the panel. So legally, or the instrument used for our appointment, is Section 3A of NEMA. In a nutshell, Chairperson and honourable members, is that our mandate is to review Parliament legislation and practices on matters related to the management, breeding, hunting, trade, and handling of elephant, lion, leopard, and rhino. In rhino, we include both black rhino and white rhino. This slide, Honourable Chairperson, basically deals a little bit about just how our work, or a summary of the terms of reference. You would see that under each species, there are issues specific to the species. And for example, on rhino, there were like issues around enforcement, community empowerment, demand management, management of rhino populations, and responsive legislation. So, and that if you look at this, you would find those specific issues related to the species, elephants, there's a whole list there. In the interest of time, Chairperson, I'm not going to go through all of those, but also to say we were also asked to evaluate outcomes of the Committee of Inquiry and make recommendations, and then lastly, assess and provide policy positions, recommendations, and operational guidelines with regards to all of those issues that are listed on that slide. In the interest of time, Chairperson, I'm not going to be going through that. We're also asked, told that the specific key actors we needed to engage with, and those included non-governmental organizations, communities adjacent to the Big Five protected areas, and stakeholders in government, national and provincial, whenever possible, international, regional, and sub-regional, industry, game ranchers, hunting associations, media, animal welfare, and rights and groups. So those were the kind of some of the stakeholders or actors that we're seeing as important in terms of as we execute our work as a panel. So we started our work, Honourable Chairperson and members, in at the end of in November last year. We started with a session on the 28th and the 29th, November 2019. And we were, what I didn't say is that we were appointed for a 12th period, which comes to the end. It comes to an end at the end of this month, which is November. So we working on finishing our work from the date we started to our work at the end of this month. And what we then did in our approach, we took we said we need to situate the relevant specific issues, as I have indicated within the slides, in a broader context. So we took a kind of a thematic approach and said, and said there are issues that are specific to the species, as the slide on the species would have indicated. But there's also issues that are cross-cutting. And then we identified those issues that are cross-cutting, and the constitutional framework is one of them, legislation and mandates, land use and the South African wildlife model, transformation in the sector, education and capacity building, and international relations and animal welfare. And we organized ourselves as the panel around those thematic areas, bearing in mind that these were overarching areas that apply to all species that we're dealing with, but at the same time not losing sight of the fact that we had to look at specifically on the specifics relating to the species. So we started a process of then consultations. We divided our consultation into two parts, in what we call, as you would see in that slide, in terms of reference indicated who were just suggested for us to look at. So we saw internal government. We we looked at the department as listed on the slide, agriculture and land reform, tourism, forestry, directed for priority crime investigation, dealt with issues of enforcement, the NPA. We also had the provincial departments and conservation authorities, with FNB and as well as FNB as an entity, as well as the scientific authority, which is a separate legal entity within FNB. So we also had an engagement. We had the South African National Parks, the state attorney, I've already said scientific authority, as well as SARS. So these were the stakeholders that we spoke to first. And then we issued on the 27th of March. This date is significant, Chairperson, honorable members, because if you look at it, is that that was the beginning of the lockdown. And they had started on the 26th, but we had already issued a plan to issue a call for invitation for members of the public, which we published in the newspapers in the Star on the 2nd of April and the Express on the 5th of April. In addition, we issued the Government Gazette. Basically requesting stakeholders to the public or members of the public to make submissions in terms of the terms of reference by the closing date, which we tell the chairperson and members, when we realized that not everyone. We had initially thought lockdown was going to be shorter as everyone else did, and then it was extended, and we also extended the time to be, so we went for 60 days as opposed to the normal 30 days. So we extended the time for comments. Listed on the slide, question and members, is the list of organizations that did write to us. Some are organizations and some wrote as individuals. I must also note that some individuals and some organizations wrote and said, we are basically writing to endorse someone else's submission. And so those were all of the submissions that we received. There's an analysis of who those, where the submissions came from. And Chairperson, there's again a breakdown, and there's a slide that gives a breakdown in terms of what those organizations or individuals, what sectors, at least in our own understanding, what sectors came from. And it includes research institutions. We received submissions from South Africa, from abroad, South African university communities, hunting community, game breeders, lawyers, individuals that are lawyers, and we received also people that regarded themselves as conservation experts or animal rights, as well as animal rights groups and animal welfare groups. It was quite a wide range of submissions that we did receive. And I must say, Chairperson, that just not only the numbers of people that did respond, it was also a challenge for us in terms of the volume of work. And some submissions, in some cases, would go in excess of 200 of submissions. But I must say the panel has managed to... Now, why is my... I'm not... Okay. So what we've done, Chairperson and honorable members, is that we have looked at all of the documents that we could find in executing our work. Those are listed there. I'm not going to go into that much. The interest to the portfolio committee would be the colloquium that took place in 2018. It was also one of the reference documents that we looked at and briefing from the department in terms of what came out of that, of that process. So in terms of our work, we brought it on board, including other committees of inquiries, panel of experts in 2005. That was there. All of this we brought together in terms of our review of documents. We also then held, under difficult conditions, Chairperson, if I may add, that most of the public were virtual, and so we there's a list there and the dates on which we have met all of the stakeholders, and some days, like for example, in the wildlife, we'd have a group of individuals as well as associations that have said to us. To date, we have to everybody who had written to us and asked to be and made a submission to join us and give us further in so that the panel not just we didn't attend mission, we also that we thought were important in terms of our work, and those include ecotourism groups, tourism business associations, the National House of Traditional Leaders, because we recognize the importance of their role in the work that we do. The People and Parks National Committee, which is a committee of a representative of community organizations, community members, and they form themselves into a People and Parks National Committee. So we haven't received a submission from them, but we then requested them to come to us and meet us and make their own representations to the panel. In addition, Chairperson, we've also had the associations of traditional healers. The last two, we had a hybrid engagement, and that is both virtual and face-to-face. The rest of the consultations, they were all done online. So we're not complete with our consultation. We're now going further in terms of the communities. And again, we're going to have a hybrid of face-to-face engagements with communities and community structures, in fact. And we've identified those areas that are adjacent to protected areas or conservation areas, and also have the species that we're dealing with. There is a list, the Chairperson, of the members that we're still going to see in the next 2 weeks. And so we will, in conclusion, Chairperson and members. So we'll complete our consultation process by middle November, and then we're hoping to finalize a set of recommendations in the third week of November, and then a report of the panel with recommendations will be tabled to the minister by the 30th November 2020. That's the plan, Honourable Chair, and just in terms of our organisation of work, we are starting to identify the key themes and starting to look at, so that we don't have too much pressure at the end. So we are continuing with the consultation process, but we are not necessarily forming a view yet as the panel, because that is critical that we hear everybody before we make the 15 days between the 15th of November and the end of November is going to be a critical time for the panel. And today's engagement was primarily to just brief the committee in terms of where we are, and if there's any useful insights that you might want to give us. as we execute our work at this in this time, those would be welcome. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members.
Thank you very much. Let's appreciate the briefing, and I hope you have had many questions, but we didn't know who to ask these questions for, and the minister would always talk about high-level panel. So now you are before us, but you have outlined your process. Can I now take hands from honorable members? I see honorable Yebe is the first one. Honorable Winkler, I can hear you. Number two. Honorable Singh, number three. I think let's take the hands in that order. If there's any other member who then wants to come in. Honorable Viebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also thank you to the Chairperson of the HRPC. Chairperson, I have three questions for you. The one is more a statement and a bit of a confusion, and then the other two will be more structured. Chairperson of the HLPA, I want to know, this started the curriculum between captive lion breeding and the bone trade. Then it developed into becoming the HLPA as more animals. And then the question here is, we work on the legislation and the managing of these animals, and I don't really decide that you might be doing very good work, as we saw on your slide, it's very professional. But my question to you is here that last year already, the lions and the rhinos has been moved to farm animals. Now, you keep on talking of lions and rhinos as wildlife. My question to you is, the captive breeding lions farm animals and the wildlife protected in hand parks of the Kruger, are they wildlife or are those also and the farm animals? Change the rules, also the mandate of the HLP, because those animals fall under agriculture and not under environment, and how do we protect animals that are under a different set of rules, because lions and rhinos now that farm animals can be bred and they have a very different set of rules, and how are you from their side can manage that if it's not our mandate? Also, part of that is, where does the conservation of this wildlife farm animals in brackets come to farm animals? How are we going to use the conservation fact with rhinos and lions? So that is my first question to you, are we busy with the right things here? My second question to you is your consultation. I do agree you've done consultation as far as you are, and it is very sad that it did have to happen in COVID-19, but the communities in these areas do not have access to their gates or to public, to Wi-Fi, to be on virtual platforms. What have you done to actually consult our community regarding this? And then my last question to you is, you have noted that there is still a significant level of public concern around the policy, legislations and practices associated with the DCC, especially in terms of animal welfare and well-being. Therefore, my question is, why are animal welfare and well-being not referred to in the HLP terms of reference, and why are there no animal welfare experts on the panel? Thank you very much.
Honorable.
Okay, good morning, and thank you for the presentation. I have three questions. I'll try.
Honorable Winkler.
Number one, it's clear from the public published affiliations of the members on the HRP that at least 12 of them have potentially vested financial interests in the outcome of the panel's deliberations. Which obviously might compromise the work and the outcome of the panel. as well as the credibility. Can you advise how this has been considered by the minister, as it might open the recommendations of the HRP to future challenges and expensive litigation, as we've seen in the department? Then in terms of the terms of reference of the HRP, it makes no reference to the recent court judgment requiring that the welfare of animals need to be taken into consideration when decisions regarding them are made. Also, as my colleague Anuri has said, Honorable Anuri Weber, that there were no animal welfare experts on that panel, although there was some consultation. And considering, obviously, the nature of the discussion taking place, I think it was extremely important that they were one of the standing members of or members of those of this panel. Why are none of these experts on the HRP? And how will the minister take this, and how will you take this into consideration when implementing the recommendations of the HRP? The NSPCA, Audrey, Delfink, Cormac Cullen all declined to serve on the HRP, and Karen Friendland, Adila Agji also resigned, citing concerns over the composition of that panel. So how are we going to mitigate against this, the fact that there hasn't been enough credible contribution from the animal welfare space, and what that opens us up to in terms of challenges against the outcomes? Then certain NGOs were advised in the invitations that they could make oral presentations to the high-level panel, but they were told not to raise the issue regarding the terms of reference of the high-level panel. So how is this going to be dealt with, that there are no organized crime or illegal wildlife trade or SARS or zoonotic disease experts on this panel, given that we're in the midst of a global pandemic that is of zoonotic origin? And also, what about the fact that there are no tourism experts on the panel? Because this has an effect on South Africa's image, and it has brand damage, as there is global consensus that has condemned the captive predator breeding industry and canned lion hunting, including one of the biggest hunting fraternities, which is Safari Club International, who say that canned lion industry is basically causing a blight on the entire industry, and it's losing us money. So those are my three questions so far. Thank you.
Honorable Singh.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues, and good morning, DG. I still know DG as DG Yako, Pam Yako. We served in another capacity in a different time, 10, 12, 15 years ago, and it's good to see you heading this particular panel. Chairperson, thank you for the briefing. Just a couple of points, and I just want to pick up from Honorable Winkler and make my last point first and then make my other points, that I do not believe that the time frame set for the panel to complete its work by the 30th of November is realistic. They are doing a lot of work. We've heard what they've done. We've heard some of the concerns by Honorable Winkler, although I think it would be unfair to ask the chair of the panel exactly why certain people are not on the panel. The panel was appointed by the minister, and we have to ask those questions of the minister. But I'd really like to, my last point first is that we should appeal to the minister to gazette the fact that this panel needs to continue its work for another 2 or 3 months, so that when we receive a report through the minister as a portfolio committee, we have a report that has been well considered, well consulted, et cetera, et cetera. So that's my submission, Chairperson, but I think it's something that a submission we've got to make to the minister. The second thing, Chairperson, is that I believe that we must not, as DG Yako said, former DG Yako said, consider this meeting as a formal interaction with the portfolio committee for our comments on the issues. This to me is a report back from the panel on how they have been conducting the work thus far. And perhaps if, as part of the groups they want to consult, the portfolio committee is one of those groups, then we must allow that opportunity to present itself as we move forward. So I wouldn't like to go away from this meeting saying, well, they have consulted the portfolio committee and they've received the views, because we are not prepared to give our views at this meeting, because we haven't been advised that this meeting is for that purpose. But having said that, Honorable Chairperson, I want to thank the high-level panel for the methodology that they have adopted. But I am concerned about the consultation, the inclusivity of consultation. And perhaps I'd like to hear from them, if there are groups other than those 70 or 80 that they have listed that may still want to make presentations, either through virtual or hybrid or oral representations, that they are aware of. And I think it is common cause that when this panel was set up and when the work, we didn't have a thing called COVID. And as Honorable Winkler said, COVID will certainly impact on how this committee proceeds with this work, but it also impact on issues like the impact of zoonotic diseases, because we know that COVID-19, SARS, et cetera, are viruses that started off from wildlife. So to what extent has the committee's terms of reference included the issue of zoonotic diseases and wildlife trading and things like that? I think I'll stop at that, but the main point I want to make, Honorable Chairperson, is I really think that this panel needs more work, more time to conclude its work, and more consultation, and even consultation with us as time moves on. Thank you very much.
Honorable Modise.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the high-level panel and to colleagues. I get hurt when Honorable Singh speaks, because he says he has met the former DG about 12 to 15 years ago. So literally, I had about 4 to 5 years. So today I'm speaking to people who have met when I was 4 years old. So it's a problem. But thanks, Chair. I think we must take this opportunity to welcome the brief, perhaps to also rubber stamp the views of Honorable Singh, that let this be an introductory meeting. Of course, we welcome the brief. It is a brief. So it did not go to detail, and it sounds as if the mandate of the high-level panel is really broad. But two questions for me are sacrosanct at this point, Chair. That they have do they think that the time frame given to them was sufficient, or were they just working under pressure and against the deadline, given the realities that the country was confronted with of COVID-19 and the lockdown? Well, do they think the time frame was sufficient, or do they echo the sentiments of Honorable Singh that there might be a need for an extension? But I take keen interest, Chair, in knowing that in discharging this mandate bestowed upon them, are they in a position to brief us on the financial implications, or perhaps the projections after the conclusion of the project? How much do they think would have been utilized by the high level panel in discharging its responsibilities? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks. Yes, for now I can see no hand.
Chairperson?
Honorable Mbatha.
I'm sorry. Morning, everyone. I'm sorry, I was a little bit disturbed. We've just lost one of our comrades. I just heard the news. So it's really disturbing. Let's leave that out. What I want to say is that I feel that the high level panel, the time frame that they were given, it's not enough. Because there's a lot that needs to be done. And there's a lot that was raised. Remember, we had a presentation on the lion blood or blood of lion, where the breeding of the lions were not done properly. Because in those areas, we know that the access is not the entry is not accessible. So what needs to be done is that we need to, can I call you back after this? What needs to be done is that, sorry, what needs to be done is that, because I'm aware that they can't have access very so easily in those areas. That's my worry. So the time frame is not enough. And the other thing, they need to have people that will professionals that will deal with the meat safety, as there is meat that is the lion meat that is being donated to the community. So we need the environmental health practitioners to be dealing with that, and also dealing with other environmental issues and how the those wild, because they are no longer wild animals, but although we say wild animals because they are now domestic animals, how they are being slaughtered and how the inspection and so forth. So there's a lot of things, and what I would request is that the panel members give us the background of their qualification and their experience, so that we understand, and also we can advise to say, please add this one, so that your work is it's complete. But I can still say they still need more time, Chairperson, and we need more continuous engagement with them, not only. I believe this is the introduction, but we need to have assist each other, both ourselves and them, on how to resolve this issue. Because remember, we've got a pending issue of the issue of the lion, like the blood of lion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, before, I think there are clear issues that we should agree on. One, on the issue of the composition of the panel, that we should direct to the minister. I think the members who indicated that should actually be helping the panel, so that you don't struggle to say who is not in the panel, who is in the panel, to engage the minister. And the time frame, possible extension, we must engage the minister. But can we allow then a chairperson of the panel and your delegation to respond on some of the issues?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members. So I will share the answers with other members of the panel. And then I will, if they're not answered adequately, we would provide written answers in some cases. But what I'll do, I'll take an initial take on the questions, and then other panel members can add. And then if still need be, we might, I'll come back and summarize our submission. And then if still need be, we'll provide written responses. I'm going to start with the one of those written responses, which is the Honorable Modise's question on the financial implications. That information, we don't have it at the top of heard, but we do in writing in terms of how much money was spent in the work of the panel. So we'll provide that. I would like to add to this list, Chairperson, and thank you for helping us on the issue of the composition and the time frames. I would like to add one more issue there, and that is the issue of the terms of reference, which is what we communicated, Honorable Winkler, to stakeholders that did come to our sessions. We said, with regard, because we are the panel, we did not firstly appoint ourselves. Secondly, we did not, so the minister, we also had, were given in terms of reference upon appointment. So what was included, what should have been included, what could have been included, what shouldn't haven't been included, all of those conversations are conversations with the minister and the department. So what we did say to stakeholders is that with issues that pertain to our terms of reference, our composition, and we would rather not respond on those issues as a panel and rather deal with the terms of reference that we do have. So we didn't say we're not interested in the issues. However, it is the terms of reference that we have were the terms of reference that we are going to be using as the panel. In terms of our approach to the terms of reference, though, was that we then, as I had indicated in terms of the slides, earlier on in the slides when I was talking about the cross-cutting issues, and that might, the cross-cutting issues that might apply across the species and might not necessarily in some cases be specifically referred to in the terms of reference. I'm thinking of the wildlife model, for example, as an example. We thought you can't look at these issues in isolation. You have to look at it in relation. You have to look at some of the broader issues that have got implications. So as a panel, in so far as possible, we've tried to also not just narrow ourselves and just look at take a narrow look at the terms of reference. However, we also are aware that we've got a terms of reference, you're appointed to do a certain task. So we've taken a broader view on some of the things and in terms of our approach, but at the same time, we then still narrowed it back to what we are appointed to do, so that we meet the what we were appointed to do. We have, as much as we can, tried to discharge of our responsibility, given the constraints that we do have. We have worked tirelessly and in terms of getting many stakeholders to come and make representations. And not just the 70 that did make a submission, but we've gone beyond, as I had indicated in my presentation. And so far as we're getting and hearing the issues, we have also made invitations for other stakeholders to come and talk to us. In terms of Honorable Singh's question about whether anybody can still submit, it's a bit of a tricky situation that we're in, because if we now reopen the process of submissions, we would not be able to finish our work in the time that we have. So we wanted as much as possible so there are two principles at play here. The one is that those that we made it a point that those that had submitted, we have made sure that we not only look at what they've written to us, we bring them to the hearings to also explain what they've written to us. And we've gone through all of their issues and submissions. And in some cases, we had questions for the individuals or for the association. So we worked through all of those questions. And then we said, but there's still some things that seem to be important for us to discharge of our work, or some stakeholders. For example, I'd made an example of community representatives and traditional healers. We didn't receive submissions from those constituencies, but the communities, it's in our terms of reference that we need to consult them. But in terms of, I mean, a stakeholder like traditional healers, we thought, because as we are doing our work and we're listening to the issues, we felt that there were an important constituency that we need to hear their views on some of those things, especially with regards to the species concern and how they impact in terms of the work that they do. So we have sort of taken the liberty and not taken a narrow approach went ahead with our work. Honorable Wendler, on the issue of the court judgment, we have, in fact, what we did, and right in the beginning, we took a legal opinion, both in terms of from senior counsel, right in terms of both in terms of what the constitutional provisions were and what is meant by what is intended in the Constitution, as well as also a view on some of the judgments and what it meant, what are the implications were for the panel. So we incorporated, in terms of our work, we did incorporate that into our work. With regards to certain members, unfortunately, I cannot respond to those members that Honorable Winkler was talking about. And that was, I mean, as far as we know, and in the correspondence I received and the discussions I had with Ms. Karen Trendler, was that her reason for resigning was based on her health situation. So that was that's what I'm aware of. I'm not aware of any other reason. Incidentally, as a panel, we had made her the chairperson of the subcommittee that dealt with the issues with regard to welfare. Obviously, we had to get someone else when she resigned. And to our knowledge, it was on ill health or health issues or health consideration, where she couldn't keep up with what we needed to do. Similarly, with those members that didn't take up the minister's appointments, we can't really comment on that. We don't know what the reasons are why they did not take up the minister's appointment or offer for them to serve on the panel. But what we did do as a panel, which is within our, so we haven't got control and can't deal with who gets appointed. However, we did, as a panel, make sure that those constituencies have got, when we have our public hearings, are all also all listen to them. I mean, I do remember, I mean, the one time, I mean, we even accommodated international stakeholders. I remember the one person that we had to, who was traveling at the time and based abroad, and we had to change our time and see them within the time zone that suited them, and they happened to be at the time in South America. That was from our side as a way of trying to accommodate as much as we can, as many people that could have a say in terms of the work that we do. With regards to, let me just also, some of the Honorable Weber's questions. I mean, we've tried as much as possible to bring in both the departments of environment or the department that is responsible for our appointment, but so and also departments and the Department of Agriculture. And we have we've looked at, and there is an issue that is on our desk, and we're considering how to make recommendations on that, in the issue of overlapping mandates. But in our work, we didn't just look at the legislation that or speak to only to the Department of Environment Fisheries legislation and the officials. So we invited also the officials from the Department of Agriculture over to also give us terms in terms of their legislation and what the legislative framework governing the species, because regardless of what law or who is the custodian of the legislation in terms of national departments, the legislative framework applies. We didn't just say we're only looking at legislation that is administered by this department. We've looked at beyond. So in so far there's a legislative framework that applies in the agricultural side of things or farms. We have also looked at that. We've also had, as one of our stake, the people that came to address us as the panel was the NSPCA. And we also engaged them in that regard and asked some of the questions that the honorable members are asking. I don't know if there's anything that in terms of the conflict of interest. We, all of us as panel members, in the beginning, we adopted a charter and we adopted a declaration process in terms of our interests. We have a declaration of interest that members have signed. Also, when we did another thing, even when we were going to have the public hearings, we asked members to do a further declaration because we needed to know who was in the stakeholders that we were seeing in the meeting, that they are either from those organizations or represent or somehow interested in those organizations, whether that is a direct financial benefit or by association to an organization. We've created different categories of declaration, and we do know, and we've got it on file, on who and what interests that members might have, whether they financial, direct, or derived benefits financially or influence that we have, just for transparency and ensuring that all the members of the panel do declare and we understand where they're coming from. We do have, on the issue of zoonotic diseases, it's a matter that keeps on coming up in terms of the work of the panel. It is an issue that we haven't fully dealt with, if I may, Honorable Singh. And there's been views lately within the panel that we might need to just look at that issue and see how it impacts on the work that we do and whether we can do justice on the, there is a debate on that, it's still on our desk in terms of how best to deal with it in a way that is fair and detailed and also comprehensive, because we don't want to just tick a box. And that's a bit of a challenge. It is on our desk and we are looking at it and see how we best identify that. With regard to the time frames, I think that's already been, I think I have covered, Chairperson, all of the questions, and I don't know if my fellow panel members wants to say, to add anything. But on the issues of our qualifications and experience, we'll make that information available. On the issue of financial implications, we'll make that available to the honorable members and in writing. And yes, I think I've dealt with all of the questions, unless my colleagues want to add anything at this stage, Chairperson, with your permission.
Well, I'll depend on them. If there's anyone who wants to add something, I can see hands, if there are any hands here, but I can see Honorable Singh want to make a follow-up.
Can Honorable Winkler, too? Yes.
Honorable Winkler, yeah. In that order.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you for the responses, Chairperson of the high-level panel. I know this may be a loaded question, but from the side, you will need more time to be able to submit a comprehensive, well-informed report to the minister. That's my first question. The second one is, in the work of the panel, are you looking at, just like how we have money laundering, are you looking at the laundering of animal products that are illegally acquired through legal sources? And I think you know what I mean in that regard, because people could acquire some of these products illegally, but channel them through a so-called legal consortium or an entity and sell them abroad. Is that something that you are looking at? And lastly, I don't know if your panel had an opportunity to see the documentary Blood Lions, and there were some serious allegations against some farmers. Is your panel looking at or investigating some of these so-called captive lion breeding farms to see whether they are doing what they are supposed to be doing, that looking after the welfare of lions, or engaged in illegal activities that harm not only the country, but tourism opportunities?
Honorable Winkler.
Thank you. I'm just going to leave my video off because my network is unstable. So thank you so much to the chairperson of the panel for her attempt to give us really comprehensive feedback. And I'm very glad that you have said that the issue of COVID and zoonotic disease is something that hasn't really been looked into too thoroughly, because I think that this is one of the more overarching priorities that really need to be taken into consideration. I mean, globally, economies have come to a standstill because of this. I mean, this is something not only isolated to South Africa. We also have a global responsibility here. And we've seen that irresponsible management of wildlife can have far-reaching impacts, more than we can ever anticipate. And we have a responsibility going forward to ensure that this never happens again. My understanding is, and I don't know if the panel is aware, that the TB was found in lion bones that were being exported out of the this is a valid concern, and we have no idea what other zoonosis may exist in the products and derivatives that we are exporting. And then to speak to Honorable Singh's point about the illegal trafficking of wildlife and the derivatives, that's another issue. And we really need to have expertise on the panel that can speak to that, because as he said, often legal trade is just a cover for illegal trade, which is very lucrative for the people involved. And we have to obviously protect our wildlife. Then I wanted to ask, in terms of standing members on that committee, so not consultation, standing members, when Karen Trendler declined to participate, when other welfare organizations declined to participate, have they been replaced at all as standing members on that committee? And are there enough of them to balance out perhaps other interests so that there's a fair proportion of representation for animal welfare on this panel? Thank you.
I will allow Chairperson to briefly respond. Your time is approaching, and I think we want to close the meeting before.
Thank you very
time.
Much, thank you. Chairperson, and thanks to the honourable members for the questions. The one issue about the quick and easy issue is the issue around replacement of members. They were replaced. I do feel that on the balance of probabilities that the members of the panel is a fairly balanced panel, okay, in terms of where, what member skills are, what backgrounds that they have, and I think we have enough members on the panel that might either be coming from or in the individual ranks have got, might have views that might not necessarily be in line with the rest of panel members, but might not necessarily be known for those views. And sometimes when we debate as a panel, which I must say, as a member of the panel, the debates themselves are quite engaging. So, so far as I can say on behalf of the panel, that the debates within the panel are quite robust. If you can be a fly in the wall, Honourable Winkler and Singh, you would see that there is a robust discussion. Some members might have in the personal capacity look at the movie, and others have got books. We've also been sent books as the panel to look at, and in so far not as a collective. We haven't sat as a panel around the room and look at the movie Bloodline, but we have, as individuals, have looked at that in the same way that we've all been sent copies. Copies of Lord Ashcroft's book, yeah. As individual members, and again, individual members of the panel, I assume that people have read and looked at what is in there. With regard to issues of illegal trafficking, we're not necessarily looking at it because it is also a tricky issue because it involves law enforcement agencies. We've had engagements with the law enforcement agencies, and from our side, we are fairly convinced that that there is there's enough being done in that space to look at this issue, or to look at that. But as a panel, we're not necessarily looking at it directly, but we do have reference to that issue. I hear Honourable, I think Winkler on zoonotic diseases, and that's an issue that we still need to look at. Where it is difficult, I know Honourable Singh, as he had indicated from a long time ago, I know he always looks for a direct answer. And and over the years, I was a government official, I did try and answer questions to the best of my ability. I'm going to try and do the same thing now on the issue of timeframes. It is a tricky one because on the one hand is how long is a piece of, they were dealing with very complex issues. Do we have enough information at our disposal to make recommendations on all of the things and all of the complexities that we are faced with? Probably not. Do we have enough to move the country forward and be able to deliver that within the deadline and still speak to more people as we're planning to? The answer is yes. Could we go deeper than we have? Probably yes. But do we have time to go deeper? The answer is probably no. So even if you were to give us another 3 months, as in your earlier intervention you were saying, I think the issues are a little bit more complex for us to even be able to discharge and dispose of them in that time that we have. So I think we've done quite a fairly good job. We've done quite a bit of work in terms of in the time that we have, and given the complexity of issues that we're dealing with, to try and do justice to the issues. And I think from where I'm sitting, we will, by the end of this month, have something that we're also doing now, as we are starting to, whilst we are finishing the consultation process, we are starting to have another team that has been working for a month now, just to start in SWIFT. So we've got, in fact, the people in attendance at this meeting. Lizanne and Chisiwa are responsible just to look at with a fine tooth comb on all of the submissions that we received, and looking at, is there anything that we're missing? Are there further questions that we need to get from the stakeholders? Do we need to get more information? And Jose Matsila, as well as, I've gone blank, comes from a committee that is, Dr. Franz, Teresa, are sitting and starting to look at, from what we've heard and what we've read and what we've seen, what are the kind of key recommendations we should be starting to formulate? So they've been doing work for over a month on that as well. And lastly, Kule, who represents our community consultation group, as a subsection of our consultation work. So he's also on the call, and they've been looking at, are we not leaving out anybody in the process, especially from a community perspective? I think it was Honorable Winkler that raised that we must just make sure that we have as much, or it could have been Honorable Webb, I'm not sure, but that we must, as much as possible, especially given the fact that we don't have Wi-Fi and connectivity. So the panel, and we are fortunate that we are in level one, we're going to try to have a hybrid model, and it's not for community members that are going to be talking to us through internet, but some panel members will be on site and engaging with communities. I must say, though, in the engagements that we had last week, which is also a hybrid chairperson, was that we even had, in some cases, community members that were that didn't come, that some came to face-to-face. I was in the face-to-face meeting, but the others connected online. Where feasible, we're looking at various options. And so we are still committed to doing that as much as possible under the circumstances, and reach out to as many people as we can, given the time that we have and the context in which we find ourselves. I'm going to leave it at that, Honorable Chairperson and members. And once again, thanks to the committee for affording us the time to tell you where we are and what we're doing, what our approach is, and some of the things that you might have raised here are issues that also worry us and we're busy with. And your insights and inputs are very useful as we get into the next phase of our work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think at least now we know who are the high panel, and we have been promised we'll get a profile of all of them. The appointment was done by the minister, If there are any issues we want to follow up, we'll engage the minister. But they are almost completing the work by the end of November. So we might as well be looking forward to what comes out of it as a committee. And but at least we are on board now in terms of the process. And I hope we will also take into account the work they are doing and possible results that will come out of it as we want to engage. Otherwise, thank you very much for the time. Can I remind you that we have got another session at 12, where we'll be engaging with Jane Goodall as members of Parliament South Africa, 12 to 1. And so those sessions are usually informative. They are helping members to think broader than what we are doing. Otherwise, I'm told some members did not respond when they were asked to respond. We are inviting you. We'll send out the link so that everybody can join. Otherwise, thank you very much, chairperson of the panel, and your members, and our engagement with you is meant to help us, to represent our communities better, understand whatever issues that come out of this, whatever questions that you have raised. The intention was to empower ourselves and possible empower.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Winkler.
Sorry to interrupt. I just want to ask you first, since it wasn't within the ambit or scope of the presenter to speak on the terms of reference and the composition of the panel, could we please arrange for a follow-up meeting with the minister to discuss those specific issues? Because I think a lot of us had questions around that couldn't be answered today. Thank you.
I think we were noting the discussions as we are proceeding. But I think your suggestion to say how best we can follow up on some of those issues is noted. Otherwise, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the members, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.